I think we'll start a little early with just some music, just to think about the Lord.
Holy, holy, holy are the Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The elders and angels bow, the redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Sing with me.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The elders and angels bow, the redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
It's a good way to begin a prayer meeting. So those of you who have just arrived, come in and have a seat. This week we are continuing through the book of Psalms, and so let us open with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the freshness of your word. Always new, always old, always fresh, always appropriate. Help us to quiet our hearts and enter in closer to you, Lord, than when we walked in the door, so to speak. And you're present everywhere with us all the time, but here we are with this little family who can gather each Saturday morning and just set aside a few minutes just to kind of shut off the sounds of the clamor of the world and of the urgency of the things and all of the news and gossip and olds and everything else that there is around it to want to relate to somebody. And yet how much of what we relate is really edifying to you, Lord. And so we want to just look at your word this morning. We know that is edifying to you. So thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 48, called the trilogy, 46, 47, 48. We do have a little change here, though. 46 and 47 were thought to be written at the time of King Sennacherib threatening to invade the city of Jerusalem, conquer it, and the angel of the Lord went out and killed 185,000. That was quite a victory. But we aren't told in these Psalms when they were written. Men just kind of try to put it together. And God has had so many victories. Now, today, we actually are mentioned into verse 7 as when you break the ships of Tarshish. So now we have another new one in here. And that brings us to 2 Chronicles 20. As example, when King Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord because they were hopelessly outnumbered in an invasion by Moab and the Ammonites and others. And you remember that story. He prayed to the Lord and they prayed to the Lord. And God said, send the choir out in front of you. And they went out the next day and they had to show up like you have to show up. But he did it all. They didn't fire an arrow. And he confused the enemy, and they shot each other. Or, I don't know, you don't shoot in those days, but they killed each other until not one was left. And then it took them 3 days to pick up the spoil and bring it into Jerusalem. So God enriched that nation so much by these enemies coming in, but it was all him, right? Now today we look at Psalm 48, and there's just a lot of praise given to God, which is so good. But it's talking a lot about the greatness of Jerusalem, which is good, and it's somewhat limited. As strong as the bulwarks were, as high as the wall was, as powerful as the rocks in the temple were, it was only as strong as they gave their allegiance to God. As soon as they turned from God, enemies came in and burned everything and crumpled everything. So here we are to pray today, and I would just remind you, among other things to pray for, of course, the lost always. But we also have kind of a crisis in our nation right now. As you know, we have the Supreme Court being under great attack, and we have this decision about to be handed down. And we've, you know, back in the Bork days and back in the Clarence Thomas days years ago, we had some hideous things happening, but they weren't really to the level they are now. And so this decision is going to come down soon, and we really need to pray for this nation. It's a good thing to see the court rule that's not constitutional. It's never been constitutional, so it's just but that's only a step. How is the nation going to accept that? And if the nation is going to continue to blaspheme God and say human life doesn't matter, that court decision reversing that won't make much difference. Now, we know some of the states are already lined up with no abortions on their watch, which is great. But by the same token, there's a lot more that are lined up to say, come and have the abortions here, we'll even pay for them, or whatever, you know, kind of a thing. So we need to pray, don't we? But we always need to pray. But this morning, just to look a little bit at Psalm 48, and a psalm you're very familiar with, the first two verses, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. I found a great choir that is going to sing this song for us, and it's a song that's never been recorded by this choir yet, but maybe we will record it this morning. So let's sing this together. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? One more time. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Great. Thank you very much. So those are the first two verses. Then verse 3 is, God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. Amen. He is the only refuge we have. Yes. I mean, you can go into a bomb shelter, you can get under 45 feet of concrete. Good luck. But God is our refuge. For behold, the kings assembled, they passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled, they were troubled, they hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain, as of a woman in birth pangs, as when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. You know, every time Israel would line up with a wicked nation to do something, it didn't work out very well. And so the ships, they were going to carry all this gold in with the wicked nation adjacent to them, and they were told by the prophet, don't do it. And they did it anyway, and the wind came up and sunk all the ships, you know. Verse 8, as we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Well, that's not today, and that's not yesterday when we wrote this, but it is tomorrow. And we know we're soon going to have the rapture of the church. We're going to have the 7-year tribulation, and then we're going to have the 1,000-year millennial reign. And during that time, Satan's going to be locked up for a while. And in verse 9 of chapter 20 of Revelation, it says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That's the devil. But we hear the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. That's at the end times. Now, we go to the next chapter, and we really get to the end times. after the thousand-year millennial reign, verse 21, or chapter 21, verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every fear, every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" How about keeping your eye on that one, huh? Verse 9, "We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness." How often do you think on God's loving kindness? Put that on one scale and put on the other scale the time you're spending looking at all the hideous things in the world. How do they match up? You know? Maybe. "We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth." Now that's coming. That's not today. We don't have the praise of God to the ends of the earth. We don't even have it here in this country, let alone to the ends of the earth, right? But that's coming. And then notice this. "Your right hand is full of righteousness." Have you ever thought about the marvel that we serve a God that's not empty-handed? What if you went to him tomorrow and, you know, you said, "Lord, I need righteousness." He said, "Well, I don't have any more left. I ran out. You know, we didn't get the order in on time, or the government sent it all to foreign nations, or whatever, right? Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad." And I was looking at that word daughters, and it could well be translated villages. So let the little places in Judah, let the daughters of Judah, or the villages of Judah, be glad because of your judgments. Normally, you don't think of judgments as something to be glad about, but we do his because his are righteous and perfect, aren't they? And so needed. So needed. So needed. Then verse 12, "Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces that you may tell it to the generation following." So most of us are older here. Are we telling it to the generation following? I know some of you have been in children's ministry for years. You've been telling them for years, but we need to continue to tell it to the generation following. And now, in our terms, it's generations, right? It's just not one, it's two or three generations that are after us. Some of us, the rest of you are too young to know what that's about, but you'll get there, maybe, if the Lord doesn't take us out of here sooner. "That you may tell it to the generation following." And then the final verse, which we'll sing about at the end of the hour. "For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death." But for us, there's no death. So I would rather say even to the end. And there's no end. So how can you say, how far does this go? Everlasting, 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 and everlasting, huh? Father, we thank you for this glorious psalm of just giving you praise and glory and honoring your name, your loving kindness and your righteousness and your judgments and your faithfulness. Lord, you have allowed us to come to you in prayer, even exhorting us to do that. And we know we need leading by you, Holy Spirit, or prayers are really not being offered up the way they should be. So may we pray this morning as led by your Spirit, and may we just seize this opportunity to come to you in this little family. In Jesus' name, let us pray. As we've come to the end of the hour, I wanted to call your attention to the final verse in the psalm today. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. I just wanted to ask you to sing along this song. This is another no-namer. Doesn't even have a band. It's kind of a ukulele and a keyboard, I think. But it's just the Word of God, and it is over and over again. But I kind of like that over and over, because it takes that long for me sometimes to kind of get it. So the words are on the back there, for it's just exactly the last verse. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. So let's sing along with this.
Our God forever and ever, He will be our guide even unto death. For this God is our God forever and ever, He will be our guide forevermore. This God is our God forever and ever, He will be our guide even unto death. For this God is our God forever and ever, He will be our guide forevermore. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forevermore. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The city of our God. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. The fountain of situation, the joy of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. This God is our God forever and ever. Our guide even unto death. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forevermore. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forevermore.
The Lord. This This God is our God forever and ever. Amen.
All right, that was not necessarily the Tabernacle Choir, but it wasn't bad, right? If you got that, you learned verse 14 today. I did want to just share one story as we close, or share a story you've heard, I'm sure, many times, but it's just on my mind a little bit. There was an old saint who was describing his life in the Christian walk, and he said, I've got two dogs fighting inside of me. I got one dog who is good and spiritual and loves the Lord. I got the other dog who's of the flesh and always trying to destroy everything. And so somebody said, well, which dog is winning? He says, the dog that is fed the most wins. So what are you feeding? Are you feeding yourself the spiritual good stuff? Are you filling it with the others? Because that's the dog that's going to win in a way. Now, we've already won. Every believer's won. No question about that. But another thing is, we get into Revelation 18 this week. One of the great exhortations is, come out from among them. Come out from among them. It's coming and keep on coming and keep on coming. And the Babylonian system, which is being put to death in that chapter, as you know, is alive and well today. Think of the little ones. Any parent who gives a small child a phone with internet on it, really, really out of line, because that's the pornography in their hand. It's that Babylonian just flooding their lives like never before. They've never had access like that before. And so come out from among them and keep coming. And that's daily. It's daily. And as we think, I think of little children who are my age, right? 85 years old. Still a little child with a device in my hand, right? And it's all around us, isn't it? How we're shamed into being quiet about anything that's wrong. Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that. And we're so cowed in that. And so pray for the church. Pray for the pastors to stand up. And not just duck under what's going on, you know, because Barry prayed really well that he would find all these things going on when we come back, and that's all great. But what did he really say? Will I find faith? Will I find faith when I return? Will I find belief? Will I find them looking to me? And we know he's coming soon, and yet how many pulpits are really pressing the point? He may come today, really. And he may come this week. Really, are you ready? You know? So, spread that word. In the meantime, we need to pray. We need to pray for all these things as you are. Father, I thank you for this precious family. And just, oh my, what was great, be wonderful world if everybody was like this. But not everybody, not everybody knows you yet. And so we want to pray for those lost today that you put on our hearts. That one, two, three, four special ones that we may have been prayed for a long time, but may we continue as you put anyone on our heart to pray for, Lord. So bless each one because they came, and may we honor you in all ways. In Jesus' name, amen.